You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning. I'm Luis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Rabbi Stephen Leon. Rabbi Leon is director, the rabbi at the Congregation B'nai Zion, and he is also an instructor here at the University of Texas at El Paso. We're going to talk about some exciting news at a center that recently opened here in El Paso, and also about an upcoming concert. But first, we'd like to take the time to welcome Rabbi Leon to the show. Thank you for being with us here today.
Thank you very much. It's my honor to be with you.
Now, Rabbi, as I mentioned, you've taught and you continue to teach religious studies courses here on campus. And one of the things that has recently come up within the last couple of years is the treatment of the Jews in Spain, particularly. In fact, there was an article in one of the Spanish newspapers, I think it was in the Barcelona newspaper, said that they were going to grant citizenship to a lot of these Jewish people who were mistreated if their name was on this list that was there. And as it turns out, a lot of people, Mexican people, have those names. But getting back to the crypto Jew and your involvement with that, it goes back, if I remember correctly, the last time I interviewed you, you said something about the spring of 1987 or 97 that a woman walked into your office and asked an unusual request.
Let me just correct your memory. Mine is also beginning to wane a little bit.
Okay.
I came to El Paso as the rabbi of Congregation B'nai Zion in 1986, August of 1986. I had been a rabbi in New Jersey for 15 years prior to that. And at that time, I had never met anyone with crypto-Judaic background. I had only read about it, learned about it, and in those days, the term that was used for secret Jews was Marrano, which is a derogatory term. It means swine. The more politically correct term are crypto Jews, which a lot of people still are not familiar with that term. And in Hebrew, the term is anusim. Anusim in Hebrew literally means those who were raped or those who were forced to do something against their will. And so in those cases, what it's really describing are the Jews during the Middle Ages, and especially at the time of the Spanish Inquisition, when they were forced to convert against their will. And so from that point, their Judaism was really taken away from them. So what happened was, the day after I arrived, I received a phone call from a gentleman in Juarez who said he would like to come to see me. And basically, he told me the story. In fact, when he called me on the phone, he said, Rabino. I didn't even know what that meant. And he said, could I come see you? And I said, sure, come the next day. He came to see me. He was sitting in front of me. He was about 40 years old. And he told me a story, basically, that he's Catholic. His entire family is Catholic. And he said that ever since he was a little boy, he can remember maybe when he was 3 or 4 years old, that on Friday nights in his home in a dark room in the house, his grandmother would take him into a room, light 2 candles, and say a prayer in a language he didn't understand. 2 weeks ago, he told me his grandmother passed away, and he asked his mother, will you be continuing grandma's tradition, come into the room with you? And she said, no, I'm not interested. And he was very upset, thought it was not respectful toward his grandmother. And so he went after, he wouldn't let go of this. He went to every family member. And finally, the family said to him, look, why don't you see our priest? And our priest will talk to you about it. So he tells me he went to the priest, and the priest told him that there were hundreds of women, Catholic women in Juarez, lighting candles Friday night, and that the priest knew why, but he should really, out of respect to his grandmother, talk to a rabbi. So he said, that's why I'm here, Rabbi. Now tell me, why am I here? And I said to him, well, you know this is a Jewish custom. I thought the man was going to faint from the expression on his face, a Jewish custom. We're religious Catholics. Why would my grandmother be doing a Jewish custom? And I explained to him that on Friday evening, Jewish women light candles and they welcome in the Sabbath. Our Sabbath begins Friday night and it ends Saturday night. He didn't even know that. And he still pondered. I said, well, did you ever check the roots of your... He says, yes, my grandmother's family originally came from Spain. I said, and then it dawned on me. He said, well, perhaps your grandmother is from that group of people, a descendant of those who were forced to convert during the Inquisition. And I told him a little bit about the Inquisition, and one thing led to the other. And finally, at the end of the conversation, he said to me, is it all right if I come to your synagogue? I said, at any time. And he came once in a while. And to this day, that same man comes to my synagogue on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, the Day of Atonement. He sits in the synagogue. He doesn't say anything to anybody. We nod occasionally. If he stays to the very end, we'll shake hands. And I think this is his way of honoring the memory of his mother and his ancestry.
Thank you for that quick history lesson. And yes, my memory is going. But I think I also remember you writing an article spring of 2007. It was dated. Uh-huh. And you said that a woman had come to the center with a very unusual request and that your secretary went and
right.
asked.
Yeah, that story is really mind-boggling. And that is when it happened. And my secretary told me that there are three people outside that want to talk to you. I said, please bring them in. There was an elderly woman, I would say she was probably around 90 years old. And with her was her daughter and son-in-law. And the daughter said, my mother insists that I come here. And I said, why? Well, we live in Los Angeles, and my mother is ill. She's very ill. But my son, her grandson, was graduating from a school in San Antonio. So my mother does not like to fly. So we drove to San Antonio, and we went to the graduation. On the way home from San Antonio, as we're going on I-10 back to Los Angeles, my grandmother says, all of a sudden, you must stop, you must find a synagogue, and you must find a holy Jewish person. So it just so happened she was getting off at exit. She was by exit 13, Sunland Park exit. She gets off the highway. She says, anybody know? She stops and asks for directions to a synagogue. And now she comes to my synagogue, and that's all she knows. And she says to her mother, tell the rabbi why you're here. So the grandmother tells me this incredible story. She said that when she was a little girl, her grandfather, similar to that other story, would bring her into a room every morning, except on Saturday, and he would put two objects on his body, one on his head and one on his arm, and he would say a prayer in Hebrew. And when he died several years ago, he made her make a promise to him. He told her that these were Jewish religious articles. We call them tefillin or phylacteries that Jewish men wear and some women when they pray in the morning. One is put on the head for thinking about prayer and one is on the arm for doing prayer. And he made her promise that when he died that she would bury one of these objects with him when no one was looking because he was Catholic at this time and the other object that she would bury with her. So she said to him, you know, she made the promise to him, and he had told her about his Jewish roots coming from Spain. Well, her whole life, she felt guilty about this promise. Now, the daughter has never heard the story before, and she said the reason that she felt guilty is because she loves Jesus with all her heart and soul. Judaism is not interesting to her. She wants to live and die as a Catholic, and she felt kind of guilty about this promise that she made because it might not be respectful to the Jewish people if she has this buried with her. So she said, last night in San Antonio, she had a dream. And in her dream, her grandfather came to her. And the grandfather said, I know this has been troubling you, but if you promise me that you will find a Jewish religious person and he will agree that he'll bury that object with him, I will relieve you of your promise. And with that, and the woman is crying, and I'm crying. I even cry when I tell the story. Opens up her purse, and she takes out this object. It looks like it's a black box, and in the inside are scrolls. And inside the scrolls are the commandments in the Torah that we are supposed to put these objects on us. She gives it to me, and she says, I want you to promise me that you will have this buried with you so that I can be faithful to my grandfather and faithful to the Jewish people. Wow. Wow. I mean, we hugged. She gave me the object. I have it in my office all the time. I have instructions when I die, this will be buried with me to keep that memory alive. Now, when you think about it, there are hundreds, you know, there's only four rabbis in El Paso. There's hundreds of rabbis in Los Angeles. Why did she get off that exit? Why did she come to me? Why? You know, it's mind-boggling. And when the woman left my office for a moment to get a drink of water, I said to her daughter, did you know anything about this? She said, I have no idea. And she found out that her grandfather had passed away over 20 years ago, and this woman was carrying that object all of that time in her purse, and no one knew about it until today. So I don't know, Louis, what you believe about spirituality or fate or whatever, but my God, that has been with me, you know, and that's part of the motivation for what I do, because I somehow feel that there is a message from that woman, from her ancestry, and that's part of why I do what I do.
Rabbi, there are probably hundreds, thousands of people out there who may be not going through the predicament that this lady went through, but perhaps wondering about their ancestry. And this center that you all are opening, it's the Aneurysm Center. If you want to share with us what that's all about and the mission of it.
So from that first time that I met that man in 1986 and this episode with this woman, these episodes have continued and continued and continued. And over the nearly three decades that I've been in El Paso, actually as a result of outreach and a result of people hearing about what we do at our synagogue, I have brought back about 60 families who have had Jewish roots, have come back, done a return to Judaism. And so I've had several ideas and dreams so that people will know, not that Judaism proselytizes or seeks converts, but if people have these roots and they want to come back or just explore it, someone should be there for them. And there are only about six or seven rabbis I know throughout the world that are involved in this. It's just not in their agenda. But out here in El Paso, this area, New Mexico, Juarez, is one of the places in the southwest of the United States where people with this background have settled because of that connection. And so one of the dreams was to always have this Aneurysm Center. And so when the opportunity presented it last August at the campus of the Jewish Community Center, there was a Holocaust museum originally, which was dedicated, I think, in 1994. Through the generosity of Louis and Miriam Rosenbaum. And we had a dedication ceremony. And then several years later, there was a fire at that museum. And what happened was the museum didn't burn down, but many of the objects were ruined in it. And so the board of the museum made a decision to move the museum downtown where it is now for several years. It's a wonderful place. I think it's at Yandell, 715 Yandell. But this building was not being used. Part of it is for Jewish Family Service, and part of it has been vacant. I went to the leaders of the El Paso Jewish Academy, who now own that land, and I told them about this plan, and they said that we would be able to use this facility for our Aneurysm Center. And that Aneurysm Center right now has an exhibit of pictures and stories of people from this area who explored their Jewish roots, found out that they had Jewish roots. Some of them returned to Judaism. Some of them remain as Catholics. We had a wonderful ceremony to dedicate that building in August. And this center is really still in its infancy. But what it will be a place for people to even check their DNA. It will be a place for people to do research. It will be a place that will host programs for the Sephardic, Ashkenazic, Jewish, and non-Jewish community about this subject. It will be a place where we will have speakers and programs and all kinds of activities. And one of our big activities coming up is very soon, on Monday evening, December the 8th, the Aneurysm Center, along with my synagogue, Congregation B'nai Zion, will be hosting one of the most famous and most talented Ladino singers in the world, Sarah Arieste, in a concert. It will take place at our synagogue because our Aneurysm Center is not big enough to accommodate what I hope will be several hundred people in attendance. Our synagogue is at 805 Cherry Hill Lane. The concert is free. We're just going to ask everyone that comes to make some donation whatsoever just to help to support what we're doing. And Sarah is an incredibly talented singer, and she will bring Ladino alive. And for those that don't know what Ladino is, Ladino was the language of the Jews during the Inquisition who had spoken Spanish. Ladino was written in Hebrew letters, and it is a combination of Spanish, all of the various dialects of Spanish and Portuguese, and some Hebrew. According to some, there are over 200,000 people in Israel that speak Ladino today. And with the language comes the culture, which is the music, the literature, the art, and all of those things are alive today. 500 years after the Inquisition, the Jewish community, the descendants, those who are still practicing Catholicism, we're all connected. We're all part of that heritage. And it's just such a wonderful opportunity that we have to bring the entire community together and to experience what I think will be an incredibly inspiring evening.
Rabbi, we have run out of time, but we just touched the tip of the iceberg.
Sure.
Can you give us a website that people can go to find out more about the Anusim Center? And also, we mentioned the fact that if their name is on a certain list, they might be of Jewish descent.
Well, right now I would suggest that they contact AnusimCenterEP.org or CongregationBnaiZion.org, where there is a link to crypto-Jewish activities. And I think there they can contact me directly through the synagogue or through the center. I'm often asked personal questions about that journey. Probably there isn't a week that goes by where at least one or two people don't call me, and we talk about where they're coming from and where they're going. So that's a very good way for them to learn about it.
Rabbi, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us here today.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate this opportunity.
We've been visiting with Rabbi Stephen Leon. Rabbi Stephen Leon has been talking about the Anusim Center and also the upcoming concert featuring Sarah Aroeste. If you want to find out more about Ladino, which is a combination of Hebrew and Spanish, you can go to the websites that Rabbi Leon mentioned. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineers Norma Martinez and Katie McCormick. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.